With you today in the ministry of the Word of God. I invite you to turn tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel 7, and we want to begin our reading at verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5. Where we read, "And Samuel said, Gather Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And he gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard them. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Now may the Lord bless his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, tonight we ask you to give us something from yourself, whereby we can recognize thy hand of blessing, thy mighty power, and thy wondrous grace. Reveal thyself to us in this hour, for we thank you for the privilege of asking and receiving in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Augustus Toplady wrote that great hymn, you know, that we sang twice this morning. And I was wondering if I were mixed up in the messages the Lord wanted me to bring today. We opened the Sunday school with singing, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come." And we opened the second meeting with, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come." And tonight, I want to just talk to you a little bit about that great place, Ebenezer. Now, it's a good thing to mark the hand of God upon your life. Now, when we look over the saints of old, we can find the hand of God. We can look at the life of Abraham and see the hand of God. We can look at the life of Jacob. We can look at the life of David, the life of Joseph. What about your life? And what about mine? Can I see the hand of God leading and guiding and directing? Have I raised any Ebenezers to God? It's one thing to sing, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come." But have I raised any Ebenezers of praise to God? Have you passed through any rivers supported by the divine presence of the Lord? Have you walked through any fires unharmed? You see, the God who spoke to Abraham at Mamre in the cool of the day is the God who speaks to us through the Word. The one with whom Jacob wrestled that night at Peniel is the one who wants to teach us through his Word and through his disciplines and enable us to raise our Ebenezers of praise unto him. Never forget the glorious manifestations of God in your life. Never fail to rejoice over them. I'm afraid that we don't do this enough. And we get the idea that God isn't at work. But if some of us maybe took more time to talk to others of the times in our lives when God came in blessing, when we knew it was of Him and not of man, and the results of it, that we can raise more Ebenezers to God. You see, this is what Abraham did when he had offered Isaac upon the altar, and he received Isaac from the dead in a figure. Genesis 22, he named the place Jehovah Jireh, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That night that Jacob slept, he had a stone for a pillow, and he anointed that stone the next morning. He called that place Bethel. This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. This is what Israel did at the Red Sea. After they crossed the Red Sea and they were safe on the Canaan side of the Red Sea, they sang together the first recorded hymn of Scripture, "The Lord hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he hath cast into the sea." This is what David did in the 144th Psalm when he said, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." He coined a new name for God, born out of a new experience with God. And beloved, can we say as we look back, say over the past 12 months, can we say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped me"? Oh, let us look at a few things about Ebenezer that are in our text. And I think there are three great things here connected with Ebenezer. And we want to look at them very briefly tonight. Now, most of you say, "Boy, when he gets brief, I want to know about it." Well, I'll try my best. The first thing that about Ebenezer is the place where the stone was erected. And this you have to remember, because 20 years before, on this very field, Israel was defeated. There's a great victory here now at a place that was once defeat. And because of the great victory, they raised an Ebenezer of praise unto God. Brethren, we need to remember our defeats. We need to remember them. We must never forget how much like Israel we are. Israel went out and they said 20 years before, "Let us take the Ark of the Covenant to battle. Maybe it will save us." And it's so easy to become bogged down in ceremonies and miss the Lord. Israel did 20 years before. They took the Ark of God as though it was a thing and didn't realize that the Ark signified the presence of God in the midst of his people. And it's so easy to rest in ceremonies and in ordinances and forget the rock of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. Ebenezer now becomes a hill of joy, but I must call to remembrance the many defeats, the many failures. As they looked around that day, they were walking on the graves of many who fell in Israel because of their defeat before the Philistines. And as I look around, they're the graves of my proud notions that I had concerning the things of God. They're the graves of creature strength and boasting. And now to raise an Ebenezer of praise, it stirs from within us that glorious truth, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." But not only do we remember that this place, Israel, was defeated 20 years ago, this place should remind us and give us a memory of our sin, our unbelief that often prevails over faith, our pride that so often lifts up its ugly head and can bring nothing but the curse of God. And as Brother Mac and I were talking this afternoon about discipline in the local assembly, and we were discussing this, I said, it's an amazing thing. The local church should be a restoring community for the people of God when they sin. Galatians 6 says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual. And the spiritual man is described in Galatians just a few verses before that when he said, the fruit of the Spirit is. The spiritual man is the man in whom the Spirit's fruit is manifest. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. But then he adds this, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And in this matter of discipline, beloved, there must be the absence of pride on the part of the one who is disciplined. There must be humility before God and owning of the mistake and a genuine repentance toward God, something we are not seeing today. In spite of the sin that is talked about so prevalently on television and in the newspapers, I see no repentance. There must be repentance on the part of the one, but there must be true humility on the part of those who administer the restoration. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, you don't go into restoring a brother and say, boy, I've been waiting for this opportunity. I knew he'd fall sooner or later. That's the worst attitude you can have. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, you see our unbelief, and I need to be reminded and have a memory of my sin, the unbelief that prevails over faith, the pride that lifts its accursed head, our patience that manifests itself as a sickly plant. We can't wait upon the Lord, in spite of the fact that the Scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And you see, you and I should be surprised as we look at ourselves that the Son of Righteousness, the Son of Divine Grace, should continue to shine upon us, and that the abundance of heaven's mercies should be revealed in us. I need to remember, this is a place where I failed before, and now I raise an Ebenezer of praise unto God. But more than that, this was a place of their sorrows. Because of this place, Eli, Israel's high priest, fell over backward and he broke his neck because of what happened there on the field of battle. Because of what happened on the field of battle at that place, Eli's daughter-in-law gave birth to a child. She named him Ichabod. The glory has departed. It was this place where their harvests were snatched by the enemies. But now it's Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But you see, beloved, this place now became the place where they lamented after the Lord. They sought the Lord their God with a true heart. They had come together to pray and ask God to help them. Beloved, there's no blessing apart from genuine prayer. They had come together to pray. I remember one night in northern Lebanon in a country church. The preacher there had three churches. He was a graduate of Dallas Seminary, fine preacher. The second time Mr. McNeil came to America, this man took him to the airport to catch an airplane. Now, he wasn't supposed to fly because he confided in me. I promised my wife before I left Scotland I wouldn't take an airplane, but he did anyway. And then, I'm telling tales out of school tonight. But anyway, this friend took Mr. McNeil to the airport because I had to work. He was a nice young man. And I remember preaching the gospel in one of his three churches. And that night we saw a blessing. God came in the salvation of souls. And I'd say about 20 people stayed behind when everybody left. And they got down on their knees and cried to God for a half hour, maybe an hour, for God to come in saving more. And you see, here's a place where Israel is now lamenting for the blessing that they missed. They're longing for it. There's genuine repentance. There's a return to God. Friends, it's a blessing to see a church getting down to business to pray and seek God's face and recognize that He is the holy God who brings sinners to Himself, and He grants them repentance, and He savingly redeems them from a life of sin, and eventually takes them home to glory. You see, Ebenezer became the place of the renewed covenant. They renewed the covenant there before God at Mizpah. And the very name Mizpah means watchtower. Watchtower, waiting before God, waiting to hear His voice. And they were waiting on Him, and they were renewing their relationship with Him. And now after the visitation, now after the renewal, after the victory, they could set up the stone and say, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So we see the place. And we have to get this place in our minds before we move on. So we not only have the place where the stone was erected, but we have the occasion now for the erecting of the stone. You see, the occasion was the tribes had assembled together to worship, and the Philistines heard of their assembly, and they had gathered together unarmed. They didn't come to war. They came to worship. The Philistines, on the other hand, they suspected a revolt. And hearing the people had come together, the Philistines determined to attack them. But at this time, the prophet of God, Samuel, arose to the occasion. And I want you to notice what he did. He took a lamb and put it on the altar. And the lamb on the altar speaks of Christ before the presence of God. And as soon as the lamb was slain, the smoke ascended to heaven, and the blessings of God fell upon the people, and the curses fell upon their enemies. The occasion for the stone, as we raise our Ebenezers tonight, to the slain lamb, now exalted in heaven forever and ever. Oh, as we sing that hymn, here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come. And the only reason I could gather tonight to worship at the Lord's Supper is through the help of the Lamb slain, who has guarded me and kept me all these years. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But there's something else. The occasion for the erection of this stone is the power of prayer was acknowledged. You see, the Philistines were not rooted except by prayer. It was the prayers of the Lord's people. The people said to Samuel, don't stop, cease not, but continue to pray for us. Beloved, you and I will never be able to raise any Ebenezers apart from genuine believing prayer. For if God speaks at all by me, he must have all the glory. Not part of it, but all of it. If God saves souls by such a frail creature, he must have all the glory. All the glory for salvation must be laid at the feet of our blessed Lord. And there was prayer, and there was sacrifice, and Jehovah came forth in mighty power, and they could say, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Oh, what a privilege. Ebenezer. But I want you to notice the inscription upon the stone. That's the third thing. The inscription upon the stone. It said, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now the central word of the inscription is most important. The central word is Lord. Hitherto hath the Lord. It is the Lord. You see, everything in the Christian life depends upon the fullness and the faithfulness of the Lord. Now, while the Lord helped them, remember the children of Israel didn't stand idly by. They got busy and they went after the Philistines. And beloved, when you and I see the blessing of the Lord, it is no time to stop. It is a time to begin and really press on to see his mighty power and his blessing. Beloved, you and I are not going to see great results and ascribe them to men. It is the Lord who has to do it. Spurgeon said that Jonah learned that great truth in a strange seminary. He learned that salvation was of the Lord. I was telling Brother Lacey tonight, I was at a preacher's meeting, and one of these preachers was speaking on the text, salvation is of the Lord. And he said, can you imagine some preacher coming down and rapping on that on the side of the fish and saying, Jonah, don't you want to make a decision to get out of there? He would have said, no, it was my decision that got me in here. I couldn't help but laugh when he said that. Beloved, salvation is of the Lord. And the central word is, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The glory must be given to the Lord. But then there's the backward look. And this backward look is found in that word, hitherto. Hitherto causes us to look back. How far back can you look in your Christian experience? 10 years? 20 years? 30 years? How many Ebenezers have you raised unto God? Paul could say, now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Raising an Ebenezer to God. Ever think of the close of the 23rd Psalm? Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. They have not only followed me, they've caught up with me. The goodness of God, I read in Romans chapter 2, leadeth thee to repentance. And the goodness of God caught up with me and led me to repentance, to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The mercy of God brought me the great redemption that is mine in Christ Jesus our Lord. Goodness and mercy have caught up with me. And those of us who are saved for a number of years, I'm saved just about 50 years. That's awful, isn't it? Long time. But I have a lot of Ebenezers of praise to raise to our God. I could stand here for a long time and tell you a lot of stories, true stories, of the intervening grace of God. How God has worked. To him be all the glory. What a delight to take a backward look hitherto. Not only that present look of greatness, the Lord, but a backward look. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But then there's a forward look. Also, in that word, hitherto. No matter what the trial that we may be going through. And some dear people go through some serious trials. They can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We can raise our Ebenezers to the Lord. Jacob is going through a trial. But when he renamed that place and called it Bethel, he took his oil and he poured it upon the rock, upon the stone, and he made a vow unto God. And no matter how serious the trial was in the days of Samuel, when they cried out, "Don't stop praying for us," they could say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I wonder tonight, do you have, like Mary, an alabaster box of oil to pour out over the feet of our blessed Lord and raise an Ebenezer to him and say from the heart, "Hitherto hath the Lord blessed us." You know, when I was here in November, there's a lot of praise offered to God. You were raising Ebenezers. God had visited you in the salvation of a few. Oh, we long to see the salvation of many more. That we can raise our Ebenezers of praise unto our God. Grateful hearts. Do you have any oil to pour out upon the stone to raise an Ebenezer? Maybe you're here tonight and you want some oil. And you'd like to have some to pour out like others have. In raising an Ebenezer unto the Lord. I can tell you something. I know where to get it. I know where to get the oil. Just come to the cross. And there meet the blessed Lamb of God. The one who died to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Oh, I know where to get it, friends. For I came to the cross. Like Newton in his hymn, I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived. And now I live in him. I know where to get it. You can get it from the Lord. That's where I got it. And it's the only place where you can have it. Now, friend, if you have it, then you can raise an Ebenezer of praise unto the Lord. And you can say from the heart, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped me." I wonder tonight, do you have any oil to pour out unto the Lord? Because you know where it's to be had. You have received it in glorious salvation. And now it's yours to pour forth in praise. For his goodness and mercy have followed you. It has caught up with you. And you can say from the heart, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." How about it? Is it yours? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the Ebenezers of praise that we can raise to thee, the Lord of glory, the Lamb of Calvary. And we ask you now that you'll take this word and bless it to every heart. We look back and we see our past defeats. But we thank you that in the midst of them all, there are past victories when we acknowledged our sins and prayed and sought thy face, renewed the covenant and you came in and rich blessing. Tonight, we're the recipients of thy matchless grace, thy wondrous salvation. And we would say to thee tonight, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Now we pray for those in this assembly who are going through trials. We pray that through the trial, they will raise that Ebenezer of praise unto thee, that the voice thereof will speak to many and cause many to turn to righteousness for Jesus' sake. Amen.